Greg Bartley is going to be presenting on wheat residue management for soybean production on the northern frontier, and I'll let you let Greg introduce himself further. Thanks, Greg, for coming.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for being here today. As mentioned, my name is Greg Bartley from the University of Manitoba, and today I'd like to talk to you about wheat residue management for soybean production on the northern frontier. And by that, I really mean Manitoba, Canada. Bit of an outline for you today. First, I want to talk about soybeans in Manitoba, talk about our current challenges right now, and how this really compares to soybeans on the northern Great Plains. Go over some research questions, touch on my methods, give you a few results today, and then wrap it up with a summary at the end. So soybeans in Manitoba. Soybeans have been an expanding crop in Manitoba well over the past 5 years. As you can see, in 2010, there's 215,000 hectares planted, and that has more than doubled by the time of 2015 to over 545,000 hectares planted. Really, the reasons for the soybean expansion is new soybean varieties, new short season varieties. These new short season varieties have allowed soybeans to expand into areas that really weren't suited for soybeans before. Other reasons are just the ability to fix soil nitrogen. It's a low input crop kind of for Manitoba right now, very little fertilizer being applied, and also very few fungicides being used. So it's a profitable crop. Other points is just it's a successful crop in a variety of growing conditions compared to other crops. Whether it's a dry year or a wet year, soybeans just seem to pull through in Manitoba and be a consistent yielder. But with that, there is one problem with soybeans, and that's really the threat of a fall frost for Manitoba. This picture is just depicting the data of a first killing frost across the prairies, and I really want to focus in on Manitoba here. So you can see there's different colors here. Is that showing? Different colors. So this dark orange areas is kind of our typical soybean growing areas in Manitoba right now, and these are longer growing regions. Soybeans are doing quite well in this area. For quite some time, and this is also a heavy tillage area in Manitoba. It's a Red River Valley, lots of tillage going on. As soybeans have been expanding in Manitoba, they have moved out of this area into western Manitoba, and this is more of a no-till area for Manitoba. As they've moved out of the Red River Valley into this no-till area, we've seen a lot of producers actually ripping up their no-till land in order to accommodate soybeans. This is a big concern, especially when you compare this to what's happening on the northern Great Plains, where there's a lot of soybeans to be planted with no-till. So that being said, this study was done in Carrington, North Dakota, kind of on the northern edge of the northern Great Plains, and what they were looking at was soybean yield response to tillage systems in wheat residue. And as you can see, across the years that they've done this study, they have found no yield response to tillage system for soybeans. Whether it's conventional till, no-till, or strip till, there has been no yield response to this site. So North Dakota is not very far from Manitoba. Soybeans don't recognize that border. So I guess you're wondering, why are we tilling our land? Why do we need to be doing this? So that's one of our main research questions here. You know, is tillage really needed to grow soybeans in Manitoba? And more specifically, as we get to the experiment, what is the impact of wheat residue management on soil temperature in the springtime? Producers want to know, want to be planting into a nice warm soil, so how is soil temperature affected? What's the impact on soybean emergence? And at the end of the day, how does it impact soybean yield? So the experiment we designed is a wheat residue management experiment with five different treatments. The first treatment is kind of our standard tillage practice, the conventional till disking treatment. And we compared that to strip tillage, a reduced till treatment, a no-till short stubble, no-till tall stubble, and a fall rye living mulch. I have pictures of these treatments coming up in the presentations. That's all I'm going to say about them right now. We had three site years for the experiment, 2 years in Carmen, Manitoba, in 2014 and 2015, and also one site in Malinda, Manitoba. One thing to point out is Carmen is right in the heart of this Red River Valley in the longer growing region, and Malinda is out west in that shorter growing region, more of that no-till land. The variety we used for the experiment is just the DeKalb 2410. It's a pretty common variety for Manitoba, and it's a mid-season variety. We consider this a mid-season variety for Manitoba. And another thing to point out, the soybeans are planted on 30-inch rows. So this is our disking treatment. Again, this is the current standard practice for Manitoba. A lot of producers in Manitoba really like this treatment. They get excited about nice black soil. As you can see, there's very little residue in this picture, only 12% residue. This treatment is very prone to erosion. We're seeing a big problem with this right now, that a lot of soil is blowing away. So that's our biggest problem. If we compare this to a reduced till treatment such as strip till, as you can see, there's 44% residue in this ground in this treatment. A lot of that, we're only tilling in the strips, so everything else is left no-till. This won't blow away like that disking treatment. Again, if we compare that again to a no-till treatment, this is our short stubble treatment. Again, now we're up to 85% residue ground cover in this treatment. One thing about this treatment, though, is this is short stubble. So this stubble is cut a lot shorter, and it's more laying on the ground. It's almost creating a mat. If you compare that to the architecture of the tall stubble, same amount of residue ground cover, except now this residue is standing a lot taller. Sun is able to get down to the ground a lot easier in this treatment, so keep that in mind as we go forward. Final treatments are fall rye cover crop. We planted fall rye after wheat harvest, let it grow in the fall, it continued to grow in the springtime, planted into that living crop, and then desiccated it at planting with a pre-emergent spray. Quick measurements that we took, fall wheat residue ground cover. For that, we took 3 pictures per plot, analyzed that using a program called Assess 2.0 just to calculate percent ground cover. We recorded soil temperature at 5 centimeters using iButton data loggers, and they had a sampling period of every hour for the entire growing season. We took emergence counts for up to 2 weeks after emergence, and then we took yield. We had fairly big plots for this, so we were able to take a large yield size of 6 rows per plot for 38 meters squared total. So the first results I want to share with you today is soil temperature at 5 centimeters the day before planting. Our typical planting time for soybeans in Manitoba is around mid-May, so this was planted May 22nd, and our recommendations for planting soybeans in Manitoba right now is to plant with an average soil temperature of at least 10 degrees Celsius. This is depicted on the graph with this blue dotted line. That's 10 degrees Celsius. The next line I want to point out is the red dotted line. That's air temperature for this time period. Then all the other lines are treatments. So as you can see, the top line, the yellow line, I want to focus in on the daytime temperatures right now. So this is 4 p.m. during the day, hottest time of the soil temperatures. We can see that strip till is the top line and it is at least 1 to 2 degrees warmer than any other treatment. It heats up the hottest than any other treatment. Right below that is this gray line, that's our disking treatment, that nice black soil. But with that is that green line, and that's our no-till tall stubble. We have a no-till treatment and a disking treatment behaving exactly the same for daytime soil temperatures at planting. Below that again is the blue line, this is our short stubble. Below that again is fall rye cover crop. Below that again, the no-till part of the strip-till treatment. In between the rows is the bottom line, the dark blue line of the strip-till. If you look at soil temperature during the morning period, say at 10 a.m., see how soils are warming up in the morning, we can see that strip-till really starts to warm up a lot faster than any other treatment. Shortly behind that, our gray lines, the disking treatment, and then below that again is all of our no-till treatments, tall stubble, short stubble, fall rye cover crop, taking a bit longer to warm up in the morning. So those are daytime temperatures. What about what's happening at nighttime? I don't think nighttime temperatures really deserve the appreciation that they deserve. If you look at nighttime temperatures, if you have residue left on your soil surface, it helps insulate your soil and keeps heat in. We can see this here with this orange line. Our fall rye cover crop treatment is holding more heat at night. It's the warmest temperature at nighttime. If you have a black soil, that's going to lose all your heat, which can be depicted with the gray line at the bottom. It's the coldest temperature at nighttime. So any heat that you gain during the daytime, you just lost it at nighttime. I don't think that's getting appreciation that it is. As we move on to soybean emergence, this is soybean emergence for Carmen in 2015. We started taking emergence counts when they emerge, which is 10 days after planting, and we continued all the way up to 22 days after planting. I'm going to focus on the 10 days after planting first. As you can see, this trend or this spread is very similar to what we saw with their daytime temperatures for soil temperature. Strip-till emerges the first, more plants came up the fastest, and then below that are disking treatments and no-till tall stubble. Again, those treatments seem to be following each other around, acting very similar. Below that again is fall rye cover crop and then our short stubble treatment. If we go 3 days later to 13 days after planting, we see the same trend still happening, but all of our plant stands seem to get tighter together. They're all evening out. By the time we get to 15 days after planting, we no longer have a statistical difference in plant stand. Everything seems to even out, and by the time we get to 22 days after planting, all of our plants have emerged, everything is fairly close together. So really no differences in plant stands at the end of the day, however a bit of a difference in the early plant stands. If you look at this, this is plant stands in a table across all 3 sites. So it's a Carmen 2014, Carmen 2015, and Melitta 2015 for 10 days after planted compared to 21 days after planting. The thing I want to point out for this is how strip-till treatment is always a leader, whether it's early or late, across all 3 sites. It's a great treatment for soybean emergence and plant stands. If you look below that to disking and tall stubble again are behaving very similar to each other. They seem to follow each other around and they go back and forth a bit, but very similar plant stands across all 3 sites. Short stubble and fall rye are right there as well, just a bit below. Another thing I want to point out in this graph is that if you look at Melitta in 2015, strip till at 450,000 plants per hectare. If you compare that to the fall rye, which is the lowest, it's 430,000 plants per hectare. That's only a 20,000 plants per hectare difference in treatments. So again, for soybeans seem to compensate a lot if you have a low plant stand. So this is not too concerning of having a 20,000 plants per hectare difference between these treatments. If you look at soybean yield, this is soybean yield for just Carmen sites for 2014 and 2015 for all treatments. What I want to point out is in 2015, we did not see a yield response to tillage in Carmen. This is exactly what we saw in that North Dakota data from Carrington, where they did not see a yield response. We were able to replicate that in Carmen as well. However, in 2014, we did see a treatment difference. You can see that strip till and tall stubble are up above. They're top yielders with disking very close behind. And then short stubble and fall right cover crop are lagging a bit behind that in 2014. One thing I have to point out for you today, though, is in 2015, we used a planter that had great residue capabilities, a large cutting culture up front, good soil and seed contact in all these treatments, great planting conditions. 2014, we did not have access to this planter. What we used was just a disc drill, no residue capabilities. So I'm not saying there isn't a treatment effect in 2014. There definitely could be. But I think what you got to factor in is that we didn't use a seed that was really meant to be going into residue. So I think that can be depicted in the short stubble and fall right cover crop as well, where maybe some more residue is just in these treatments and just getting less soil to seed contact. It might be influencing these yields as well. So with that, I'd like to wrap up for you guys. I'd like to revisit those research questions that I proposed before. What was the impact of wheat residue management on soil temperature in the springtime? First thing I say is that strip till had the highest daytime temperature at planting. That's a given. But if you look at all those treatments, all treatments were well above our recommendations for average soil temperature of 10 degrees Celsius at planting. Whereas a no-till treatment or a disking treatment, all the soil temperatures were well above the recommendations in Manitoba. If you look at the impact on soybean emergence, strip till really was a leader in that one. Strip till emerged the fastest across all sites. It's a great treatment for soybean emergence. If you look at soybean yield, again, we did not have a yield response to residue management treatments in Carmen in 2015. So if we come back to that bigger picture question, you know, is tillage really needed to grow soybeans in Manitoba? I'm going to be that researcher and say, well, it depends. It depends on your seeding equipment. If you have a seeder or planter that's really not meant to be going into residue, tillage might be a better option for them. However, if you do have those capabilities, soybean yield did not respond to residue management treatments in Carmen in 2015. And again, this no-till tall stubble really behaves very similar to our disking treatment. So if you're looking between the two, maybe consider having a no-till treatment and leaving your stubble a bit taller. That seemed to work better than cutting it short. So I can say that this study does suggest that tillage can be reduced before planting soybeans in Manitoba. However, I think more research is needed. I'd like to push the planting dates earlier on, plant in some cold soils, and maybe see some treatment differences that way. And also to take more sites out in western Manitoba, where we're actually seeing the soybean expansion, and this research can be benefited a lot more. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions for the speaker? Yes.
Yes. In Michigan, the corn residue, we follow corn, you know, soybeans out of corn.
Yep.
How transferable is your data, you know, small grains to maybe corn stubble?
Thanks for the question. The question was, how does wheat residue compare to corn residue, or how different residues for soybeans? We have actually done on-farm trials with the residue treatment. We had some this year in corn residue growing soybeans. And for this year, we did not see a yield response as well for corn residue. Yes?
I have a question about strip-till has a more plant stand than soybean. And maybe yield would go down at a certain level of plant population.
Thanks. Yes, I think the question is with strip tillage, since it has a great emergence, would you be able to reduce your plant stand in, say, a strip tillage treatment when you have great emergence? And I'd say that's a farm to farm basis. If you notice that your plant stands are better with strip tillage and you have that potential to reduce it, I say yes, definitely explore that option. I think it'd be a great opportunity to save some money there as well. Very well. Could be. Thank you. Yes?
So you said you're in the Red River Valley.
Yep.
Right? So really heavy soils. How, like in the general farmer population up there, do people feel like they're really delayed getting into the field with no-till? Is that their main reason? I mean, soil temps, whatever, I'm sure they're not concerned about that maybe as much, but just literally driving across the field, right?
Absolutely. So the question was that, yes, we are in the Red River Valley, and our producers really worried about not so much soil temperatures, but more of the heavy soil and getting on the field in the springtime. That is definitely a concern. I know farmers are worried about if you have lots of residue there, that can help less dry out the soil a lot faster. So that is a concern, but I think it's not as much a concern as I think it is. If you have a wet year, yes, it will be a problem, but I don't think it's as big as a problem as I think it is.
Do you have an idea, like, no-till up there, like how many days it would maybe delay a guy from getting a field, maybe that'd be?
The question is a rough idea of how many days it might delay it. I'm not sure. Based on soil temperatures here, though, like there really isn't a delay in soil temperatures, so I'm not sure whether it's 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. I'm sorry, I can't answer that for you today.
Well, thanks for the questions. We're going to get going. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.